come join me May 1st through the 6th so that you can rest, rediscover your strengths, reconnect with yourself and those physicians like you who are ready to leave work at work, and re-energize. This is the invitation for you to make 2023 your year. Join me in Costa Rica in this really amazing, non-judgmental, intimate physician community. I am gonna show you how to rest and how to recharge. Let's transform your brain, level it up so that you can start to dream the life that you always wanted this year in 2023. I can't wait to learn all about what kind of year you're gonna have after this conference. Take care.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Beyond ADHD, a physician's perspective. I am Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine physician practicing in rural Texas. I used to be hindered by my ADHD, but I now see it as a gift that helps me show up as the person I was always meant to be, both in my work and in my personal life. In the past 2 years, I've come to realize that unlearning some of my beliefs and some of my habits were just as important as learning the new set of skills. Well, hello, hello, hello. I am so excited to be chatting with you guys today about a really cool topic that most of us might not be aware about. And so you're in for an amazing treat today. We are going to be talking about essential oils. And I want to introduce you a real close friend of mine, Dr. Ann Huntington. She's actually a physician. She's an internal medicine trained hospitalist medicine physician, and she's also a fellow of the American College of Physicians. And she's been very busy during this pandemic. She has lots of expertise in quality, patient safety, peer review, privileging, and credentialing. And she was actually the director, medical director of over 50 hospitalists, and she was able to successfully lead them through this pandemic and help all the patients and her colleagues. She really believed in lifestyle medicine, and she thinks that this is the foundation to medical care and integrative medicine. And she is actually the founder and CEO of Give More Naturally. It's LLC, and it all about essential oils, and she's launching an unbranded CME course for physicians on the safety and research of essential oils as an integrative tool. So she's gonna tell us all about how she got into this area and if there's any tools or tips that might be helpful for focusing or for improving our mental health. So I'm super excited about today's episode. So Dr. Huntington, as you know, everybody probably already heard it in my intro, but you and I are having a conversation as two colleagues, but these are just our opinions, right? These are not meant to be taken, as we're their physician. So they have to go talk to their own physicians and figure out whether this is for them. But anyways, Dr. Huntington, tell me how you got into this essential oils.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for that introduction. So I guess I'll go backwards to my outpatient practice. For about 7 years after I finished residency, I was an outpatient doc, primary care internal medicine doc, and then I also did inpatient medicine as well, kind of a hybrid role. And as I got into that role, I realized there were so many things that I wish I could do that I just didn't have all the tools for, right? I could certainly help people control their chronic diseases, you know, very complex situations, and, you know, get tight control of their diabetes and their hypertension and really help them. But I started delving into lifestyle medicine. And as many people know, and our listeners will know, lifestyle medicine is really the study and practice of medicine through a healthy lifestyle. So through whole food, plant-based medicine, whole food, plant-based diet, regular exercise, appropriate sleep and stress management and reducing toxins and healthy relationships and all of those things. And that really became a foundation for my practice. I really was focused on helping people, you know, get healthier that way and really helping people get off of unnecessary medications that may be, you know, kind of a polypharmacy situation, as we would say, lots of side effects from those. Some of those were absolutely necessary to continue, but I focused on that quite a bit. And then I would have all these patients come to me and say they would be taking all these supplements. And I had no clue what they were talking about, or I didn't know the research on them or the safety. And you know, you probably had that as well. We didn't really get trained on any of that. I didn't get trained on nutrition or on, you know, supplements or vitamins or integrative medicine. That wasn't part of my medical training, but I was always curious. I was open to hearing what my patients were trying to do to improve their wellness, improve their health. And, I had one patient who told me she was using essential oils. And I remember sitting in the exam room kind of, you know, trying to, you know, listen. And I just looked up at her, kind of raised an eyebrow. And, you know, I was like, I don't know anything about these. I know they potentially can cause skin irritation. That's all I know. And I couldn't help her. And she didn't push the, you know, she didn't push the conversation. We moved on to other things, but I really couldn't help her in that way. And I know that some of my patients who really had they wanted a natural approach. If I couldn't answer their questions, they would go elsewhere. They would seek out other, you know, kind of practitioners or people on the internet or, you know, Dr. Google or whoever to try to find out the answers to their questions. And so in the background of all of that, I reached out to a friend one day when my kids kind of, you know, just had a cough and congestion. This was several years ago before the pandemic. And, you know, I knew it was self-limited. I knew they were going to be okay. It wasn't a big deal, but I knew that, you know, we could have a rough few days. And so I reached out to a friend who I knew had some essential oils. And for whatever reason, I, you know, asked her, you know, do you have anything that could help this? And she sent me home with a diffuser, kind of a little water reservoir that can vaporize some of these, and some samples of certain essential oils. She taught me how to use it. And I went in, you know, my kids were going to bed. I, you know, tried it on myself first, it was okay. And then I put it in their room and just kind of, I, you know, stood outside as I turned it on and they were, you know, kind of settling down. And within a few minutes, I realized that their cough and congestion had subsided a bit. They were, you know, better. They went to sleep. They were much better the next morning. And because of the time frame on, you know, just seeing this and seeing the historical nature of, you know, what would happen, I realized that they actually did something, that they were biologically active. That was my first kind of light bulb moment where I realized, you know, that I needed to look into this more. And so I took a deep dive into this at that point and started looking at the research, started looking at the safety, started looking at the different uses. And we can talk more about the different nuances to that, but it was it's been a fascinating journey, somewhat of an overwhelming journey because there was not information out there that could, it was really difficult to find the information that could satisfy a medical doctor to really learn about these. So it has taken me years to learn, to research, to experience, you know, experiment with these, to use them in my home and, you know, with other folks to help them improve their well-being. And so it's been a journey, but it's been really exciting. I'm excited to share it with my physician colleagues, many of whom are already using these, but don't know much about them and they're interested to learn.
Awesome. So in your current practice, what do you mainly use them for? Do you use them for like the cough, like you're saying now, or do you use them for more energy? Do you use them for... or do you use them, or what are you, how is that working into your current situation?
It's a great question. So I am now about 4 years ago, I left my outpatient practice and have been doing just hospital medicine. So it's a very different environment than I would use in my outpatient practice. There's plenty of research in the hospital with these, and I won't get into it here, but I do, you know, kind of share how docs can learn more about this. The health system that I have uses essential oils. They don't use super high quality. And so I don't think they know how to really use them. So we're working on that and some protocols. Some of the health systems that use them know how to use them much better and have kind of different protocols. And we can talk about some of those ways. I remember going into one of my patients' rooms who was there for a bowel issue, and she was quite nauseated, having a lot of nausea. And we were giving a lot of medications to help her reduce her nausea. And as I walked in the room that day, I smelled peppermint. And I was like, oh, you know, it's pretty distinct. You walk in the room, you can smell it. And a nurse had put some peppermint essential oil on an absorbent pad on a little card and taped it to right by her head, to the hospital bed right near her head. And it was interesting. And that wasn't something that I prescribed. They have a kind of a protocol. And it was interesting that her, you know, nausea, she seemed to feel like it helped that day, that she potentially, you know, required a few less antibiotics, that she was, you know, symptoms were a little bit better controlled as she got through this issue that we were treating, separately. And that was a really interesting scenario to see that, you know, that in the hospital setting, there are uses for these. And there are some, you know, some other uses that health systems are using often a lot for calming. And there's some potential, you know, in as we learn more about these, as physicians learn more about these, there's some potential to be able to, you know, really help people get through their difficult situations in the hospital. That's currently where we're using it. And then, of course, there's a lot of physicians using them in the hospital. Anesthesiologists are using them in the perioperative setting, and also some surgeons. And then there's, you know, certainly in the outpatient setting, these are being used quite a bit and recommended and kind of educated.
Awesome. And so have you yourself used them to help you with like focus or with any type of like energy, or what have you used them for?
Yeah, that's a great question. We use them for a lot of things. It depends on the situation. The more you learn, and especially as physicians, the more you know the mechanisms of action behind them, the more you know how to use them. So we'll kind of talk about properties, and then I'll talk about some specific oils that we use. When you look at some of the properties of these essential oils, they're basically, and we're going to kind of take a dive back into organic chemistry. So the docs who are listening, they, you know, hopefully you don't have some bad memories from your organic chemistry days, because we're going to go back to a little bit of organic chemistry. But the way that these plants help protect themselves is through these essential oils, or there's, you know, often tiny little oil sacs in the leaves, in the flowers, in the bark, that can help protect the plant against disease, against pests, and help pollinate and things like that. So there's some beneficial, you know, properties for the plant. And this is derived from chemistry, from specific chemical constituents that occur in this, in these oils that have different properties. So when we're thinking of, you know, calming benefits, one of the, you know, most calming chemical constituents is linalool. And that is found in lavender and multiple other essential oils. And when you see some of the very, you know, calming essential oils, you want to look for linalool in the chemistry. And there's of course others. So lavender is one that can be very calming. And many of our listeners will, you know, have probably had some stress in their lives and probably had some situations where they feel a little bit anxious or they feel a little bit worried. And a lot of people will use lavender. It's the most commonly used essential oil. It's the most commonly studied, over 1,000 research studies and a lot of studies in the United States even and around the world on lavender itself. Roman chamomile is another one that people will use for calming. And often, you know, we use these too in kids as well. You know, when kids are a little bit anxious, and that can, you know, really help do some calming benefits. And I will say, one of the most common ways to use these is through aromatherapy. And a lot of people will be familiar with that term, where we can use it in a diffuser, like I mentioned, where you've got a little water reservoir, you put a few drops of essential oil in, and these essential oils are volatile, meaning they evaporate from liquid to gas at room temperature. And so they can go out in the air. And the mechanism is kind of like when you take bread out of the oven and you can smell it, right? You can smell the aroma, or when you take cookies out of the oven. It's a little bit different, but these are, you know, little tiny micromolecules that evaporate in the air and can really exert their beneficial effect. Some other ways that people use aromatherapy could be, like I mentioned with my patient, on an absorbent pad or cloth. Sometimes they can be in a little dish, and you can, you know, take the lid off the little dish or cup and be able to get that aromatherapy or inhale that. Sometimes people will just smell them. kind of from an open bottle. And if you, I've got one here, if you kind of just smell that aroma, that can be very calming or soothing. Some people will put a drop in their hand, rub it together and inhale. So there's different ways to do aromatherapy. And, you know, certainly massage, you know, folks who are massage therapists have used these a lot and will use sometimes massage aromatherapy where they'll, you know, you get that aroma benefit, also the topical benefit. That's another way to use these is the topical way where these can absorb into the skin. You have to be very careful and know what you're doing when you use these topically, because not everything that you put on your skin is good for the skin. And sometimes skin can be very sensitive to this. So, but that's another way to use these. So when you're thinking of, and feel free to jump in if you have any other specific questions about that. But then when we're thinking about, you know, kind of alertness or, you know, sometimes fatigue, sometimes people will use ones that can help with a little bit of uplift. And citrus oils have been felt to really provide a lot of uplift and a lot of, you know, kind of some happier thoughts. So we think of, you know, orange, for example, you know, most people love the smell of orange. And when you extract the essential oils from the orange peel or rind, the chemical constituent limonene in many of the citrus oils can be very uplifting and beneficial. And then one of my other favorites is peppermint. And peppermint has a very kind of cool, clear aroma that can really feels like it kind of open up your airways. If you know, when people use like really strong peppermint gum, for example, it's often in flavorings when they use, you know, peppermint gum or sometimes peppermint tea, or even a drop of peppermint. I will do a drop of peppermint in my mouth for breath freshening. And that really can open up your sinuses and kind of, you know, make you feel more alert. So people will often pair citrus oils with peppermint, for example, to help, you know, maybe when they're studying to help them focus, or when they're trying to do a difficult task, they may pair those together to, you know, help them focus a little better. And that can be a really fun way to use those. I'll stop there and see if you have any other specific questions, but that's kind of a few of the ones that I use. There's some others, but kind of just a way to think about it, either the calming side or the, you know, uplifting side, or even the, you know, kind of focus side, mental alertness.
Yeah. So I think that there is, like, this is important to bring up, because, you know, some people like to get in the zone or to get activated or to get yourself like ready to do a task that maybe sometimes we're not like, oh, I can't wait to do that task, right? Mm-hmm. If you have a way to help yourself, either for me, it's candles. Like I like to turn on candles, and again, maybe it's the smell of it that just gets me there. So, I mean, I haven't tried essential oils yet, but I'm definitely open to trying something like that, because the smell of the candle kind of helps me calm down or be more at ease. And so I could imagine, like you said, if you are with somebody who understands how much of it and what and when, it could be very beneficial as a way for you to get yourself in that zone or get yourself to think about something different. Because just like for some people, it might be music that activates them. For some people, it might be smells, right? For some people, it might. And so I think this is a way for us to also consider. And like you said, you done some of this research and you understand that, you know, we all try teas of different sorts, right? And they are plant medicine, right? I mean, all our medicines eventually are derived from something, right? And they are, it's just a different tool, or it's a different method.
Absolutely. That was one of the reasons why I thought this was so important to share, is it is another tool. It doesn't mean that it replaces all of our other tools, but it really can enhance and augment our ability to, you know, just really improve our lives with an additional tool. And I agree, it often comes, you know, our success in life often comes down to our routine. And I am reading the book Atomic Habits. I'm not sure if you're reading that book, but it's a fantastic book that talks about, you know, how life is really built upon our systems and our beliefs. And then that leads to our habits. And if we can have good habits that help us be successful, then we are often very often to accomplish those tasks that we need to, even if they're difficult. And then one of the things that I've learned recently is if we're able to celebrate in a way, you know, once we complete that, you know, that task, having kind of just that pattern of, yep, I'm going to do a difficult task. I'm going to, you know, get my setup where I need it to be to improve the chances that I will get this done. And then I have a little way to celebrate and take a break, you know, once I've completed that before I move on to my next task can be really, you know, really improve that, you know, ability to do that and also improve our satisfaction in getting things done. So that can be really fun. I know that, you know, oftentimes when we are worried about focus, and this is, you know, certainly when we're on screens a lot or when we are super tired, that can really reduce our ability to focus appropriately. And, you know, I think lifestyle is foundational, right? Having a healthy diet where you are really taking in the nutrients that you need to be fueled, hydrating well, getting good sleep at night, you know, really doing all of those things can help improve our chances of, you know, being able to focus, being alert, awake, not having that afternoon slump where we're super tired, right? We crash and then we, you know, sometimes people fuel with coffee to kind of get up. But all those things are kind of little habits that we can do that, you know, 1,000 habits can make for, you know, really big changes in our lives. And this is just one of those that can add to that routine. It's really fun.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure like having some awareness of on these when you can't necessarily use some medications, like for when you're pregnant or when you have other chronic conditions that maybe your autoimmune puts you more compromised, having the ability to again reach to something more natural is just a way to also enhance, right? Or sometimes just being aware that, you know, some people can't swallow pills or some people can't, you know. So again, it's having different delivery methods that can really make a difference. So I think, yeah, it's so important. Yes. And with Atomic Habits, what they say is if you're able to habit stack, right? So if you add something like a pair with something that you don't like to do with something mm-hmm. that you enjoy doing. And it's like you said, you're kind of rewarding yourself for doing the thing that maybe you need to do or want to do. And that can make a big difference. So for me, like, that means turning on the music and dancing to Shakira when I don't want to do the dishes, right? So or listening to a cool podcast or a good Audible book while I'm doing the dishes. So it's just a way to figure out how can I still do the task or if I, you know, and not make it be so hard. With I like using, and I like using the candle that usually has I can't even say the word, eucalyptus. Is that how
eucalyptus?
You say it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Eucalyptus. Does that, have you learned anything on that? Or does that have any type of, is there an eucalyptus oils? I don't know why I feel like that smell helps me to focus. I don't know if there's anything with it or not, but you know, we all become a creature of habit. Mm-hmm. When you like something and then it's working, you don't change it. You just keep going to the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. So everybody's so different. We're all so different. Our body chemistry is super different. You know, just our preferences are different. And sometimes different smells we really like, and then sometimes we really don't like them, you know, and especially, you know, as you mentioned through pregnancy, we can sometimes really, you know, crave certain things. And then the next week you're like, nope, that's disgusting. So it can change. But yeah, we should, so eucalyptus, there is an essential oil that's eucalyptus. And, one of my family members grew up in California and loves eucalyptus because it's there as well. And just that clean aroma. And we actually use eucalyptus in the shower when you're heating up the water just before you step in. You can drop a few drops of eucalyptus and have kind of, you get your little spa experience for a little while, and that can kind of improve your day. One thing to mention as we're talking about different preparations of these products that contain essential oils is the quality. And it's interesting, the essential oil market is crazy. It's multi-billions of dollars. And it's everywhere. Essential oils are everywhere. But there's a distinction between the therapeutic, just the aroma, and the therapeutic use. I guess I should back up and say essential oils are in our food supply. They're used as flavorings in our food. They're used for, you know, to enhance the flavor sometimes. They can be used in our skincare products, in our candles, like you said, certain lotions, certain shampoos, and then, you know, in massages that we would get, you know, with an aromatherapy massage, and then, you know, on the therapeutic side. And so sometimes we may be getting, eucalyptus or lavender or tea tree in some of our products. But some of these products may actually not contain very much of the actual essential oil, because they're either diluted with other, you know, other chemicals or other things that are in there. And you may have very little of the chemistry to actually have a therapeutic benefit beyond the aroma. So that's one kind of distinction for, you know, especially for the physicians who are listening. We're so used to, having medications be pharmaceutical grade, where if you say, all right, I'm going to, you know, prescribe a certain medication at a certain dose, you're pretty confident that you're going to get that dose without much variation, right? The supplement and nutraceutical industry, totally different, unregulated. You've got, you know, lots of different, suppliers and lots of different methods of processing, and lots of things that, you know, may not be what you, what you think they are. So that's another thing to keep in mind when people are thinking about essential oils, because they're kind of everywhere. But it can be difficult to distinguish what are the highest quality and what are not diluted with a lesser expensive oil or with like a vegetable oil, without telling the consumer. So that's something to keep in mind when you're looking for high quality. Make sure that there's a few, you know, things that we can share with our listeners to find a higher quality essential oil if they're just buying the essential oil. Look for the name and the name of the essential oil and the parts of the plant that's used. Look for the Latin name that should be listed. And, you know, it should be in kind of a glass bottle rather than plastic. It should be in a kind of amber color to kind of protect it from light and heat. And it should be, you know, it should smell like the plant. And some of us don't even know what the plants smell like, because some of them we may have never heard of or never walked through a field of lavender, or, you know, some of those are more common. But those are just some ways. Ideally, it would say organic, and it would be wildcrafted, and it would, you know, really be therapeutic grade, although there's many that will say they're therapeutic grade, and they may not be. So it's pretty tricky to find a really high quality essential oil. I would look, you know, certainly there's a lot of websites, you know, sharing these, selling these, and very few of them actually, you know, share a lot of the scientific knowledge and a lot of the, you know, the chemistry in the background behind them. So that's something to, you know, just be aware of.
Put you on the spot do you have one that, or two or three that you sometimes like, or do you refer people to buy from, or is that something that you're still like working out?
It's a great question. I'm going to answer that in a little bit indirect way by saying, yes, there's certain companies that are better than others. And so I have, you know, kind of found one that I stick with very generally, and a lot of physicians stick with them. I don't share it publicly, because I'm not promoting any certain company, but there are ways that I'm kind of working on to be able to share with people, because people are asking me all the time, like, you know, where do you get yours and how do you find them? One thing to look for from a testing standpoint, and this is really important, to make sure they do GCMS testing or gas chromatography, mass spectroscopy, and that they actually probably label their lot number or batch number so that you can look up where this came from. Now, GCMS is not the only way to test. Some companies do just GCMS, but there's far more testing that goes into having the highest quality essential oil. So I would say look for a company that really does very extensive testing, not just GCMS, but different other types of testing, organoleptic testing, and some of the others. My website actually has some information on testing that's much more detailed. And so there's ways to do that and to kind of vet the companies. And look at the sourcing, where they get these from. Do they get them in the lab? You know, do they make them in the lab? Do they get them from small family farms or from commercial farms or from a lab? Those are kind of all important questions. But yeah, it's a really interesting process. If you're getting a $5 essential oil at the supermarket, you're probably not getting the highest quality. They're expensive to produce, whether it be, you know, distillation or other ways. They can be pretty expensive, and they can also take a lot of plant matter to produce, concentrated essential oil.
So what would be a roundabout that you would think, okay, maybe we're in the right track, like a $50 one with saying something along, like you said, a glass and then amber looking container. And if they put something about GCM testing, then maybe we're in the right way. Would it be something around the $50 mark, just so that of course, everybody has to do their own investigation. And like we said, we're not here to give you physician advice, and you still have to check with your own physician to make sure there's no contraindications with the current meds you're on yourself. But just so that we have, like, you know, something in our minds of what we're going towards, since maybe this is a new thing we're all excited about and we're going to go exploring, right?
Yep. It's a new thing. It's a whole new skill set, actually. So it totally depends on the essential oil. So citrus oils are relatively inexpensive, somewhere in the $10 to $20 range, depending on the amount. It kind of depends on how much. And then, you know, lavender, peppermint, a little bit more expensive, in the $20 to $30 range. And then something like rose, which takes, you know, tens of thousands of rose blossoms to actually, you know, create enough essential oil for rose essential oil, can be $100, a couple hundred dollars. So it really depends on the essential oil. You know, some are just more costly to produce than others. I would say, well, this is, you know, my website, givemorenaturally.com, has information on testing and a lot of information on that people can look for. And, they can certainly subscribe to my email list, and we'll give a little bit, you know, information over time about this. And can certainly follow me. It has taken me a long time to learn about this, and it can be overwhelming to people because there's so many options on the market, and people want to make the right choice, and people want to, you know, try things out. And one other thing we should say is, as you've appropriately mentioned, we're not given medical advice. These actually aren't FDA approved. They're not regulated, and so. I can't say that they cure, prevent, treat, you know, any of the diseases, but I think they can help augment some of the ways that people are trying to feel good and trying to improve their quality of life. So that's kind of, you know, my biggest focus. But it's a fun exploration. It's a fun way to explore and learn.
And so tell me about your fun exploration that has now led you to, like, your passion project that is now your big business, right? So tell us about that, because I think you're really going to disrupt the field of medicine in a good way. And I know you have a course, so tell us about all of that.
Yeah, thank you. So because it took me so long to learn about this and to sift through all the research and to learn the safety and to learn really how to use these effectively, I created a course for physicians, a virtual course on what I wish I would have known when I started this process, a way for docs to learn in a much more succinct way. They can learn the research, they can feel confident about the safety as much as the information as we have on some of the most common essential oils, and they can learn about the market and the industry and where things can go wrong. So that's what I've done. It's taken me a long time to compile all this information together, but it's entitled An Evidence-Based Approach to Essential Oils. And it's a virtual course. It has CME. It is, it's 4 weeks. It has some live Q&As as well. This is just for physicians and pharmacists and dentists at this time. And then there will be other information for folks who are not physicians, et cetera, in the future. But it's a really great way for docs to kind of just learn the basics and take a deeper dive into the research and the safety and learn how their patients are using these. And part of the reason I created this course was because our patients are using these all the time. I will often have patients coming in to the hospital and say, oh, I use this. And I'm like, well, what do you use it for? And then we have a conversation and they're already using these. And sometimes they get good education. Sometimes they don't get great education and they don't know about them. really well. And that's a concern in the industry where you have, you know, sometimes salespeople that are teaching, they're trying to sell these. There's a varied degree of education, and it's going to be different than having your physician educate you about these, look at your whole well-being, you know, look at the medications you're on, the medical conditions you have, what your kidney function looks like and liver function looks like, and all of those things to kind of make sure that they can give their best recommendations. So that's why I created it. It's going to be really fun. It's launching next week, and we'll be, you know, we've got some information out there, but I'm super excited for people to take a deep dive and learn with me. It'll be fun.
I mean, this could become a vertical for them too, right? Like if they decided that they wanted to turn around and look into it in the future, as you continue to educate them, you know, they might decide that they might find a company that they really trust, you know, with, and who knows, right? This could be something just like, so some people say, oh, here's some vitamins that you can try. Like this might be something, it's not anything different than that. This is some essential oils that you might want to try to enhance your mental health, to enhance your energy level, to enhance, you know, your overwhelm. To decrease your overwhelm and enhance your stress-free life, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think there's so much opportunity for us to learn additional tools to, you know, help improve our quality of life. And really, you know, they're so versatile because of, you know, the way the chemistry is. They're just so versatile. They can be used in a lot of different situations. You know, we use them, like I mentioned, everywhere from helping, you know, calm things down to, you know, before sleep to putting a little tea tree in my kids' really smelly tennis shoes, you know, to help improve the aroma, and everywhere in between. There's so many ways to use these. And once you learn a lot about them, then you can kind of feel more confident. It's interesting. Some people use them far too much, I think. And we still have to be careful because they're, you know, people will say, oh, they're 100% natural. They're 100% safe. That's not exactly true, right? There's always, you know, another side to everything. So people need to learn about these. But I think there's some really good benefits. And so many physicians are, you know, doing integrative medicine practices now. They're getting additional integrative training. There is some essential oil education in some of the integrative medicine training, but not as much as what I've, you know, kind of put together as a really good standalone course. Yes. But people are interested, and they're, you know, telling their patients and giving them additional tools and kind of paying it forward, which I think is really fun.
Yeah. And like, I would be really interested in figuring out how I could help, you know, like the parent of the kid who just is at their wit's end, right? Where they're like, yep. Oh my God, how do I, right?
Yeah.
And, or like, you know, my Alzheimer patient who just does not have the awareness of why they are sound downing or why they're doing X, Y, and Z, right?
Yep.
Like, how cool would it be as a family member to have a tool to help and to have the right tool, right? That is, like you said, with the help of somebody who understands these and not just somebody who might take advantage of you because you're trying to do your best for them and you don't know what you're getting, right? Yeah. But yeah, I think, like I said, I think this is a new tool that one should definitely look into because, like you said, they're still using it, you know, so you might as well understand what they're using so that you can facilitate the discussion. Because, I mean, most of us think, oh, they're not paying attention to us or whatever, but they are. Like, they bring me all their supplements because I'm very open-minded and I'm like, how much are you paying for that? That's my first question I ask, right? I'm like, did you realize these are just all vitamins? Like, and I read it to them and I'm like, as long as you realize what's in here and if you're okay with it, let's try it. Like, give it like 3-4 months of it. And then if you really see a big, like, enhancement, why not? But if you don't notice a difference, then I don't want you spending in that, you know? Yeah. And so we have that discussion. Because sometimes they're not aware that what they are taking, they're double or triple taking it because they're also taking a supplementation of that specific vitamin B12 or that specific vitamin C and zinc and all these other different ones, plus the multivitamin, plus the whatever they bought, you know, on the internet or something, right? So exactly. I think it's so important for us to realize that when we are asking our patients or even ourselves, when we are like, sometimes we don't mention all the other stuff that we're doing, right? When we, they ask us, we're like, oh, that wasn't prescribed. They don't need to know. But like we forget, it might have some enhancement or diminishing return. We unaware to you that, you're oversaturated on something, right? So yeah,
exactly.
I really love what you're doing, and like everything, you know, sometimes we don't know why we are passionate and we hyper focus on some things, but we gotta use that as a tool to help others, because you already did all the research. I'd rather come to you and just tell me what I really need to know.
Exactly.
Because I don't want to go and figure it all out, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree. We don't have time for that, right?
Exactly. Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's so true. And going back to what you said about the mom, you know, with the kids, I do know that sometimes, you know, sometimes kids, especially if they are, you know, neurodiverse, they maybe not, you know, they may be a little cautious to try something new. It may be a little overwhelming for them. And we're always cautious about what we put on kids' skin and things like that. Sometimes the moms will put the oils in their hair and hold the kid that's, you know, really upset. And that can really provide some calming benefits. That's kind of a little mom hack that we use, because it can really, really help soothe them and can really, you know, be another way to redirect the situation. Similar to, like you said, your patients with, you know, that are elderly and that may be a little agitated, that can, you know, that can really be soothing as well. There's some fun and potentially really beneficial ways to use these. But it's, yeah, I think it's, the possibilities are endless. And really the opportunity is really fantastic. I will say my course has a significant safety component, because as a physician, I want to make sure, you know, that what I'm doing is safe. And of course, you know, there's so much information out there. There's no way I could compile all, you know, 20,000 plus studies. But we will talk about interactions. We will talk about specific patient populations and conditions and what to be cautious of, because I want docs to be empowered with the information that's out there. It, you know, it's going to be out there. The patients often are like, oh, that sounds great, I'm going to try it. They're just like, great to jump at it. And the docs on the opposite end of the spectrum are like, ooh, that's new. That sounds woo-woo. It sounds like snake oil. I'm really nervous about that. Is that safe? And so you've got people on the opposite ends of the spectrum, and there's nobody in between creating a balance to say, you know, we need to bridge that gap. And so this is an effort to bridge the gap of what's happening right now, educate physicians who are open-minded and who are willing to learn, and also educate patients like, hey, you can't use like 30 essential oils and not expect, you know, these are still metabolized in the body. They may interact with your medications. They may, you know, cause issues. You need to, you know, there needs to be some balance here too. And ultimately, for those people who are listening, who are like, you know, many of my really hardcore lifestyle medicine colleagues, absolutely, I agree. Lifestyle is foundational, right? This is not going to reverse the effects of your fast food intake or your high sugar intake.
Oh, right? Man.
So this is a way to augment a healthy lifestyle and really improve that quality of life. So got to throw that in there.
Yes. You have to point that out. Too much or too little of something always gets us into trouble. So tell us again, where can people find you?
Yeah. So my company is Give More Naturally. The idea is to give more tools, more hope, and more help. And it is www.givemorenaturally.com. And you can subscribe to our email list. Even if you're not a physician, you can subscribe. And then the course, again, is for physicians, pharmacists, dentists, because actually dentists are using them in their practice. They may not know. Some of the dental treatments have some clove and other essential oils in them. And the registration's open now, again, at CME for those who are, you know, can get reimbursed. And then it will close next week. and we'll get it started. So,
and I kind of talked her into giving us a code for listening. So would you mind sharing a code with us today?
Yes. So for those folks who listen to Dr. Deanna's podcast, we have a 10% off coupon. So you would, when you go to check out, type in podcast as your coupon code, and it'll give you 10% off for listening to this session. So I'm grateful for you to having me on and being able to share this message.
Okay. So before you go, I always ask everybody these two last questions. The first one is, let's say, you know, the audience that you have right now, we tend to have wondering attention. So if you just started listening right now, what is the takeaway point you want them to take away today?
Yeah, great question. So essential oils in general are safe. They are effective if you get the right quality and know how to use them. And they can really be a positive force for good in your life and in your patients' lives. But it's a lot of work to learn. So for the docs out there, come and take the course, listen and learn, and we will continue to learn together.
Awesome. One last question. In the next 3 years, what do you see yourself doing for fun?
For fun. Ooh, that's a great question. Well, as similar to many of the docs and other people that are listening, I have lots of interests. So I have to kind of narrow those. I think this is really fun to share, you know, this message with people. So there will be some consulting opportunities. I think educating medical students and residents will be really fun. And I've had some of those opportunities. And then I love to travel. So I speak Spanish, so maybe we'll go to Costa Rica sometime together. I really love to connect with people. And I think that's an amazing aspect of my job as a physician and also, you know, an interest on the side.
Hey, I would be like, tax write-off. I have to go test the original source of this essential oil, right? Like all over the world, go collect some, right?
Some of the companies, there's an opportunity to go visit those places where they source the essential oils. So that could be an opportunity.
Hey, you and I, we got to talk, right?
That's right. Let's plan.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for spending your time with me. I really believe that time is your most valuable asset. Please subscribe to the podcast, share with your colleagues, and don't forget to check out my website at ADHD-lifecoach.com, where you can find out about my upcoming coaching group classes, as well as free master classes and other exciting events that are happening.